Well, welcome everyone to tonight's call, Creativity Retreat and Self-Care. And I'm Anasuya Basil and have our guest on the line here is Suzanne Lorenz.
Hello.
Hi, Suzanne. I'm so glad you're here. And I'm going to introduce you in just a few moments. And first, I'll say a few words about myself. My name's Anasuya Basil. I'm a cranial sacral therapist and an acupressure therapist and a nutrition consultant. And I have a practice in Chico and in the Bay Area. And I also work by phone with clients around the country. And my intention for my clients is to feel at peace in their body no matter what health condition they are healing from. And I realize I talk with my clients a lot about developing healthy lifestyle habits. And I have a lot of nutrition tools for helping clients get out of, you know, the bad habits like overeating sugar or feeling addicted to certain foods. And a lot of them work really well. But what helps a lot of times is for the person to give themselves time to have fun being creative. Because when you're in that creative flow, oftentimes that desire for overeating sugar can, and other certain bad habits can just not be so important because you get a great burst of energy from the creativity. And I'll just say that I've been working in healthcare for about 20 years, but before that, I had several creative jobs. I was a film major in college, and I was a French film programmer, and I made French cultural educational videos. I did graphic design in an art department of a large international meditation center for a few years. And now I would consider myself like a hobbyist, and I develop I get so much pleasure from that. I do watercolor sketching outdoors, and I have a very lovely rubber stamp collection, and I enjoy making cards with rubber stamps and paper crafting. So it's really something that I do to help keep myself sane and happy in a really, you know, busy and changing world. And I invited Suzanne here to join us because I just really wanted to explore this theme of how creativity and developing creativity in our own personal way of doing it really benefits our health. And Suzanne has such a good understanding about this. She is a licensed clinical social worker, and she has a private practice in Chico. With her partner, Sam Beasley, she co-owns the Prevention Education Program, and also together with Sam, she's the co-author of two books, Wealth and Well-Being and the Wealth and Well-Being Workbook. And in her private practice, she focuses on giving individuals and families the skills and the support they need for bringing balance into their lives. On top of that, Suzanne has been a photographer for 30 years. She does gorgeous photos. And she's also now beginning a new learning curve, painting with acrylics. So she's continuing to learn and expand her creativity. I've known Suzanne for a few years. She's in my yoga class, Forest Ranch. And for those of you who don't know, Forest Ranch is in the foothills east of Chico. And, you know, Suzanne is someone who stays positive and upbeat, even when things are tough. So I can tell that from just being in yoga class when she's doing a really challenging pose and all of us are struggling. There's Suzanne just right now. I can tell that's her laugh. She's really hear her laugh coming from the back corner of the room. Suzanne's just a really warm, caring, wonderful person. I'm so happy to have her with us tonight. So thank you, Suzanne, for being here.
Well, thank you, Anasuya. That's very sweet. And, you know, of course, you're one of my favorite people, and I have a lot of admiration for you and what you do.
Thank you so much. I'll just give an overview of tonight's call, and then we'll get started.
Did you want to have everyone go around and say their names again?
Sure, we can do that. Let's see. I know it's hard. Well, okay, let's give that a try. And if people talk on top of each other, it's all right. So who'd like to go first? Who's here and maybe say where you're calling from?
Hi, this is Gail up in Forest Ranch. I take yoga with the both of you and enjoy it truly a lot.
Great.
And I'm interested in what you guys are going to say.
Great. Oh, hi, Gail.
How you doing?
Good.
Who else?
This is Nan Clute, and I'm actually the yoga instructor that they're speaking about. And I wanted to participate tonight to help support you guys as much as you've supported me over the years.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks, Nan. Who else is here?
Yeah, my name's Susan, and I work for Sam and Suzanne at Prevention Education Program. And I'm very interested in creativity. And I love the idea of using creativity almost instead of things like sugar and being able to tap into, you know, getting excited about something instead of some food.
Great. Thanks, Susan. And who's next?
This is Joan. I live in Forest Ranch also, and I'm part of the wonderful yoga community that we have up here, although I'm more the slow-mo version of the class, but I love it, and I know Suzanne and Nan and Anasuya from class. And I'm just really interested in hearing what you have to say, and I know that when I am in a creative flow, it's one of the most wonderful feelings, and it's so absorbing, and it's so therapeutic and healthy, and I would love to explore that and be able to sort of tap into that kind of energy a little more. So
that's great. Thank you, Joan.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Hello. This is Janet.
Hi, Janet.
Hi, Nan. Hi, Joan. I'm in the Slow-Mo class in Forest Ranch.
Hi.
And learned about Anasuya and Suzanne from Nan. I'm very interested in self-care and developing my creativity. And I've already signed up for the retreat. I'm just perfect. I'm very excited. So I'm looking forward to all of that and happy to be here.
Great, Janet. I'm so excited you signed up, too. And who's next?
Gary. I'm from Chico. I'm a graphic designer and a painter. And so creativity is kind of just a part of my daily routine, I guess.
Well, cool. So glad you're here, Gary. And who is that right behind Gary?
Well, it was Dulcie. And... I'm just excited about hearing about this teleclass and your next one and the retreat. It's all very interesting to me, but also I taught art for years, so the creativity aspect particularly appeals. And
oh, cool.
I know a
I
lot
know
of my Forest Ranch buddies up there.
And Dulcie, for everyone to know, is the owner of the Chico Canyon Retreat Center, where our retreat in June will be held. It's a gorgeous place.
Yes, it is.
And who's next?
Hi, I'm Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I'm calling in from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Whoa.
And I was fortunate that a friend of mine passed your information my way, and just last night caught my attention, and I'm open to hear and learn everything you have to offer.
Great. Super. Great. Who's next?
I'm Sam Beasley. I'm from Chico. Suzanne's partner in a bunch of things. And I'm interested in the idea of creativity and self-care. I have some understanding of it because creativity is not optional to me, you know, so my life is deprived without it. So, but I'm really just interested in what you guys have to say.
Thanks, Sam. Is there anyone else we haven't talked to yet?
I just came on late. This is June Gillum from Auburn, California.
Oh, hi, June.
Hi. Is that
How
Suzanne?
Are you? Yes, it is me. Hi. Welcome.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess we're introducing ourselves. Well, I was just interested in this because because Suzanne is doing it, and I just like the idea. I wish I could go on the retreat, but I can't. So anyway, I'm just here to hang out and listen.
Great. Well, I'm so glad that you can join us. Even if you can't come to the retreat, I'm so glad that you're here. And who else is, anyone else we haven't talked to yet?
Hi, this is Rhonda from Chico, and my friend Wendy is here as well. And I know Suzanne, and let's see here. I'm interested in the I'm just a creative person. I'm very interested in the connection of the sugar portion of that that you were talking about, because when I'm in a creative flow, it's very difficult to focus on eating well. I just kind of like to go with it. So I'm very interested to hear about that.
Okay.
And I'm going to pass it over to, I'm not. Wendy's here. She says hi.
Okay. Hi, Wendy. And anyone else? Okay. Well, great. It was great to hear from everybody. What a wonderful group. I'll just give a brief overview. We're going to talk about what we mean by self-care and why include creativity as part of a self-care program, and how creativity affects our physiology and benefits our life. There'll be an opportunity to ask some questions after, you know, we've heard from Suzanne talking about this, and then we'll also do an exercise, like a writing exercise about this. I'll ask some questions, and you'll write down some answers first thing that comes to your mind, so you might want to have a pen and paper handy. And then we'll also talk about making mini creative retreats for yourself. And we'll end the call by just talking about the Nurture in Nature retreat held in Forest Ranch June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And before I forget, I just want to mention that next Monday at 6 o'clock, same time, we'll do another conference call with Scott Davison, who's an amazing tracker and naturalist, and he'll share tips on enhancing our connection with nature. And nature is another theme of the Nurture in Nature retreat in June. So, Suzanne, let's start by talking about self-care. How would you define self-care?
Well, first of all, welcome, everybody. I'm just so excited to have so many people I know and love on the call, and people I don't know, I still good. How I define self-care is really the art of caring for yourself. I know that sounds redundant, but it's creating some balance in mind, body, and spirit. So basic self-care, as most people know it, is a personal health maintenance. So it's really any activity that a person or a family or even a community engages in with the intention of improving or restoring some part of your health, whether it's your physical health or your emotional health. And certainly self-care is the other is extreme there for when we need to treat or prevent any disease or disease, as people like to say. So eating, naturally, the basics, eating healthy, sleeping well, good food and exercise, working, and especially if the work is engaged work or you are get energized from your activity, your working activity, and good mental and emotional health, certainly as well as good spiritual health, which is in inspiration or in spirit, and serenity and peace is all part of self-care. So self-care requires us to create a space for that part of ourselves that needs to retreat from stress with good habits rather than bad habits. So it's a way of consciously or with intention enriching our environment in all of ways of mind, body, and spirit. And we'll be talking about a little bit about how we can do that enriching of environment and with our activities. So one of the things that Sam and I write in our book is that taking care of yourself includes developing a plan to spend your time and your money on what you value. So integrity is sometimes defined as a balance between what you value and your behavior. So again, good self-care is when you have all of these mind, body, and spirit in balance, and your habits are consistent with those values.
Well, that sounds really good, Suzanne. I really love what you said about having that alignment with your mind, body, and spirit, and have that be consistent with your values. And then the thing about creating the space for it, that seems really important too.
Yeah. It's not something that we often give ourselves, and hopefully after that we can set up some ways to do that from this call.
Right. And I will say that, you know, just being present with this call and saying you're going to listen to a call about creativity is a way of, you know, creating space to stand up for your value for creativity. So that's really a great thing. I'm thinking I'm going to just mute everyone for a moment. Just right now the line seems clear. We had a little crackling, but I will, I'm going to do that now. So hold on. All right, I unmuted us because I realized Suzanne is called in as a participant, so she wouldn't be able to talk if I muted you all. Can you talk now, Suzanne?
Yes.
Great.
that would not, well, you know.
Okay, well, we'll just try and keep the, hopefully the lines will be clear. Right now they seem really good.
Okay.
Well, I really loved what you said about self-care, and, you know, and it does explain a little bit about why creativity would be a tool for self-care because of what you said about how it enriches your environment. But would you like to say more about how creativity is an important part of self-care? Because, you know, it's
well,
not
maybe,
think
pardon
of.
Me?
It's not something that you normally think of as part of self-care, is it?
I think most people don't, and I think that's because I'm not sure that I think oftentimes people connect creativity with art. So I'd like to just sort of do my definition of creativity, which is, and it may be all of the people on the calls too, but is that really creativity is when a person creates something new, anything new. So it could be a product or an idea. Obviously, it could be a solution to a problem. And certainly a work of art, a novel or a writing or even a joke. And, you know, you can, anything that a person creates that's new that has some value. And the words new and value are personal. They're certainly subjective. But it could just be a new idea or a value to that person or new to the society as a whole. So, like I said, art is just one form of creativity. And in our culture, it's often singled out as the only way of expressing creativity. But it can be a good way to express it, but not the only way. So my belief system, and sort of in line with what Sam said, is anyone can be creative as we can all imagine. So we all have the capacity to imagine. So we create what we imagine. And since we can all imagine, we can all create. Even if we find ourselves creating something that doesn't work, I have plenty of bad habits and bad thoughts that often pop in my mind that I'm imagining. And but creating is also a part of that is my intention to have create positive thoughts in my mind and to have my imagination run on more of a positive way. So tonight when we talk about creating space, we really want to focus on the creativity of the sense pleasures, which are the arts or the crafts or even the writing, some that music. So that's the focus that we're having tonight, although you can create in any way. One of the things that does happen when we create or when we have these connections to new thoughts or ideas is in the moment of our creation, chemically, we have serotonin is released, a kind of a positive neurotransmitter. But in the important part, I think, for the idea of creating space, a positive space, is if that creativity is squelched by criticism or in another way not allowing the pleasure of the creative connection, then we generally don't have that little hit or that little boost of a positive serotonin.
Well, that's really interesting what you say. I do notice that when I am being creative, and I do really simple creativity, making a card, I am playing with ink pads and colors and shapes of paper, and it's very simple, but there is a kind of a high feeling because I feel like I'm really present with my senses, and
yes.
All my kind of worries or thoughts of my to-do list kind of fade away, and I love that feeling. You know, I've gone to, every summer for the last 4 years, I've gone to rubber stamping card making conferences. And with my sister, we do this together, and I've met people of all different kinds, and I really that people get very high from getting together and creating together. I know people get very happy creating by themselves too, but doing the simplest things, engaging in the senses, can be such an uplifting feeling.
Yes, it's. I think you hear a lot about being mindful. It is one of the quickest ways to be present and mindful or in the moment, is to engage in, to create the space to engage in any kind of creative act.
And I guess, you know, earlier I had talked about, people overeating sugar and that connection with creativity, and I guess I'm just bringing it up because when you mentioned that being in the creative flow can sometimes boost your levels of serotonin, sometimes people do reach for sugar or carbohydrates or some other unhealthy habit because they're trying to self-medicate and boost their serotonin that way. And it does work on the short term, but creativity can be a way to boost it without food. I think that there are some, if someone is feeling like when they're creative, they're feeling more attractive to eating sugar, that there's something else that's going on there. And I'm not exactly sure how much I'd want to go into that, but I think it's certainly possible that that the more that you focus on the joy of the creativity rather than the pleasure from the sugar, the easier it'll be not to engage in those food habits.
Well, I mean, we all have bad habits. I mean, that's just the human nature. It's also the culture we live in. So it's easier sometimes to pop in at some chocolate, which is not so bad. I mean, I'm not against chocolate. But then to take the time to create the space to engage in something, in a creative act.
Right. And what kinds of things, you mentioned that criticism really kind of puts a stop to that physiological flow of the feel-good neurotransmitters. Are there other things besides criticism that kind of dampen down our creativity?
Well, anytime we are stressed and we our lives are so busy that we get off balance, I think that's certainly a way that our creativity in any way gets I mean, there is a process that needs to take time to to solve or to engage in a creative act.
Well, Suzanne, would you mind? I know you're a really busy person. You have a lot of professional work going on. How do you carve out time for yourself to support your own creativity?
Well, thanks for asking. What I've found is that the balance in my life is it's important for me to maintain the vast amount of things that I do. I have many businesses. I have lots of interests. I have relationships, of course. I mean, these are all part of my values. This is important to me to be connected in that way. So I make sure that I take the time to do those things and put it into my schedule. One of the things that are that I do that are helpful to me, that where I can combine my values, and that is going with my photography. I go out in nature. Oftentimes, Sam and I go for drives in nature and go to beautiful places. And I take my camera mainly as a way to literally focus on what's beautiful and to appreciate what's around me in nature. Sometimes I don't even take photographs, but I actually just having the camera and focusing through the lens or looking for that beautiful, something beautiful, is a way for me to become present in nature, which is a value, and as well as in beauty. So
that's really cool. So it's so in that way, creativity can make you more sensitive to beauty.
Oh, absolutely.
I think there's many forms of creativity. They're not always necessarily having beauty as something that they.
Well, everybody's definition of beauty, of course, is different. So,
yeah.
But that it just happens that I love nature and I love to be out in the natural world. You know, creativity is up to the person's completely in their imagination.
Are there other ways of that creativity benefits our lives? I know we've mentioned so far that it can, you know, boost those feel-good neurotransmitters like serotonin, and I think dopamine as well, and that it helps you see beauty in things. But what other ways does creativity benefit your life?
Well, I believe that in what I've been saying is actually it's a way to be in balance. So, and it's also a way to identify what the things that we do value. And have that be a method. It's kind of when you're talking about creativity, it's a kind of like a little pool. You know, that example of putting a pebble in a pool. The ripple effects. You're creating the space to do the creation, and you know, to solve the problem, and it just kind of moves on through a ripple effect.
Yeah, I really find that that. The mental health aspect of making time for creativity, it's like what you say, has really brought a lot of balance to my life. And I just would say, like, several years ago, I went through a divorce, and that was a big loss. And it, of course, made me very sad. And I really, my sister and I would get together, and we would do creative projects together. And for those times, it would take my mind off everything, and it really just kept, like you said, kept the focus on the beauty, even though there were other things going on in my life that I did not like, and I really think it contributed to my, you know, mental health and stability through a very challenging time.
Well, there's another part that we haven't talked about, and that is there's another way that we can create space for our creativity or even benefit, and that is by experiencing the creativity of others, listening to music. I'm not a musician, but listening to other people's creative efforts in music, or looking at going to a museum, or just experiencing other people's creative work is very inspiring. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we're looking at great masterworks, I'm very inspired by my little granddaughter's creative work. So it's really about being able to allow ourselves to experience the creativity of others, and that is in turn feeds our creativity.
That's true. We are such a social beings that we do really, when we're around other people that are creative, it does shift things in us too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Suzanne, I was thinking of opening up for questions, but before we do that, is there anything else that you wanted to say about creativity and self-care?
Well, I think that I'm really encouraged by people who are interested in doing this, and I know that it is an important value, and it's important to take that stand to create that space for yourself. It's why I go to yoga 3 times a week, and because it's a sacred space for me to actually honor my body, to honor my mind, body, and spirit. And oftentimes, actually almost most times at the end of when we do Shavasana, I come up with these amazing flood of creative ideas as I'm laying there. It seems like it's a relaxing time, but it's actually a very creatively active time. So because I've allowed myself to be in touch with my body.
Well, that's very cool. Well, I'd love to do this exercise that we've planned out. But before we do, does anybody have any questions for Suzanne or either of us? Anything about what was said that resonated with you that you just want to note?
Are we on mute?
No, we can hear you.
That's very unusual because usually everybody can hear me always. This is Gail.
Gail.
One of the things I keeps coming back to me is I've never felt like I was artistic, or I love music, but I don't play it. And the guilt process through the years of working and coming home and, oh, I have to do the laundry, I have to clean the house, I don't have time for that.
Right.
And it's hard to let that go when you've done it for so many years.
So perfect, Gail. It's just, I can't tell you how very typical that is for most people. It's not, first of all, we haven't been taught real self-care in any way. We've been taught mostly to take care of others and to do the basic care. So it is a matter of setting some goals and intentions with that. And I would just challenge you to not think of yourself in terms of, am I an artistic person, but am I a creative person? Do I imagine things? Can I imagine something that's not there? In other words, when you're going to make dinner, you probably can't imagine what you're going to do, and then you figure it out. So,
oh, trust me, I know how to make dinner.
Well, I'm just trying to think of something. So you do. Everyone can imagine something.
Right.
So it's just a matter of following your energy. So what you're excited about, I mean, what are you interested in? And if it's music, it's, you know, that's always the first step to kind of follow that energy to some music that you really love and creating the space in your day to experience music. I mean, really like eating, you make a commitment every day to experience music in your life. And then you move from there.
Okay, so who's going to show me how to do an iPod?
I'll be happy to, Gail.
I think Nan is a real gem at that one.
Well, speaking of Nan, you know, she does have the assignment of dancing, and that usually people dance with music, so that might be something you can do.
I'll have to make more Friday class. Okay,
well,
I'll turn it over to someone else.
All right, Gail, thank you very much for your question. And is there someone else who has a question or a comment or something that they resonated with?
This is Rhonda. I have a question.
Hi, Rhonda.
Hi. So, first of all, I'm really interested to hear the connection of sugar and creativity. And my guess is that you would literally have to plan your day out with your meals. So can you expand on that just a little bit? Like what type of replacements you're talking about, or because I've always kind of depended on sugar to give me that little boost for creativity. So
sure. Well, I'll just do that really briefly. I have taught whole classes in overcoming sugar cravings, but I'll just give a few tips. And one of the tips is to make sure that you have protein at breakfast, because you want to balance your blood sugar, and protein takes a longer time to digest than carbohydrates. And when you start your breakfast with protein, it really helps curb your cravings. So that's, and then eating something with protein every 4 hours or so, if you're used to craving sugars. There is also another thing about having a little bit of raw apple cider vinegar in a glass of water, maybe like a tablespoon, and drinking that. That often will cut sugar cravings. It just changes the taste in your mouth, and it often will reduce it. Something like raw sauerkraut, which has beneficial probiotics, so it's really good for you, but it also has that sour, tart taste, will sometimes do that as well, or lemon in water. And then there may be some nutritional deficiencies, and so I won't go into that, but that's something that, if you wanted to talk about it longer, we could do it privately.
Well, there's another thing I want to say behaviorally, Anasuya, about that, and Rhonda, is in my experience, creativity does take courage. I just finished an old 70s Rollo May book from the 70s called Courage to Create, and it is something that takes a certain amount of ritual. For instance, oftentimes if I'm learning on my painting, I'll have to do a certain tidying up and getting ready to paint. And it's a kind of courageous, or I don't know how to explain it, something when you're pulling something out of yourself and into creating something new. So that can raise some anxiety, and you may, in fact, rather than be eating sugar to create, you may be eating sugar to quell your fear about creation.
That's an interesting thought. Well, thank you, Rhonda, for the question. That was a good question.
It was great.
Yeah. And I'll just move on. Is there anyone else who has another question? Any other comments or thoughts before we move to the exercise?
Yeah, I think we should do the exercise. That'll take a little bit.
Okay, all right. So take out a pen and a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle so that your paper is divided into two columns. And then draw a line horizontally. Now you're divided into four squares. And I'm going to give you a question for each of the squares, and then you can just jot your answers down in each square. And, there'll be an opportunity to share at the end, but, you know, no one's required to, of course. So just write whatever comes to mind first thing. So the first question is, how did you enjoy creativity as a child? Allow a memory to arise of having fun making stuff. And just jot down what that was, what that felt like. Thank you. I'll just give you another minute or so before we move on. Does anyone else, does anyone need more time, or are we good for the next question?
Good here.
Okay. So in the next square over, write down what creativity of someone else's have you noticed in the last week or month? What moved you about it? What did you notice about it? Just jot down any words or phrases that come to mind.
Anastasia, can you repeat the question?
Sure. What creativity of someone else's have you noticed in the last weeks or month? Whether you went to a concert or an art show or saw someone's craft. And what did you notice about it? The colors, the textures, the sounds, what feelings, how did you feel when you encountered it? I'll just give a few more seconds for jotting down any notes. And there's someone with some background noise, so if you have background noise, you can just hit star 6. All right, so on the third square, write kind of like a list. What are the possible ways that you can see yourself being creative, or things that you'd like to participate in someone else's creativity? So either way, things that you'd like to do, whether it's write a poem, paint a painting, play some music. Just write a list without censoring. These are just possibilities. And then in the last square, look over your list that you wrote for yourself in your third square and just pull out one of them and just kind of brainstorm about how you might create space for that to happen.
Sorry, Anastasia, I didn't catch something again. You said how you might something.
Oh, I'm sorry. So pick one of the possibilities that you just wrote down and think about how, brainstorm about how you might create the space for that possibility to happen. good. So I would love to hear from some of you now. What kind of things came up when you did that exercise? Any kind of particular creativity that you'd like to engage in? Or just what came up for you?
This is Pearl.
Pearl?
Yeah.
Did I say your name right?
Yeah.
Pearl. Hi. How? What would you like to share?
Well, I think one thing that, like, I remembered, I used to play with popsicle sticks a lot when I was a kid. I don't know why we had these boxes of popsicle sticks. And
yeah.
I used to make houses and stuff out of them. And it was so much fun. Like, it was just very simple. I'd just sit on the living room floor and I'd make all these different houses and things. And also just lots of make-believe, just constant free-form, you know, like, you know, my girlfriends and I, we create a storyline and then we go and enact it. So it's like a lot of theater, like spontaneous theater. And then I was always playing piano and a million different instruments. And one thing that came up for me is it's a lot more accepted for children to be creative. And as an adult, I feel like, you know, that spontaneous creativity, there's a layer on top of it of people kind of looking at you like you're strange. You know, like it's not normal for an adult to say, hey, let's play a game of tag, or, you know, let's play make-believe. So that there's, like, not just the inner struggle of finding time and things, but also, like, a layer of social acceptability.
Right.
Absolutely. It's that terrible criticism that we, or that judgment that we, now that we're adults, we have to be adult, quote unquote, and we can't play. And playing is such a healing and therapeutic thing.
Well, great. Thank you, Pearl. Appreciate that share. And who else would like to share what happened for them doing that exercise?
My name is Susan.
I heard two people at once.
yep.
Was that Dulcie? How about Dulcie go first and then whoever's next?
It was Susan. I think it was Susan, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So did Dulcie, was that you? No. Okay. Well, Susan, go ahead.
Thank you. My first square, I remember a lot of what I did creatively when I was a child was outside. We played a lot outside, and we made up games, and we made things from stuff we found outside, and so that was really fun for me as a kid, was being able to make and do things outside. And I think partly it was because there was no criticism. We were outside as kids, and there's nobody saying it was yes or yay or nay or good or bad. It was just we came up with whatever we wanted, and we were happy with that. And I realized that it's getting ready time to plant the garden, and so my fourth square was my garden and finding areas to organize my equipment and my things out there and making a plan for planting and irrigation. That's all it's so much fun for me. I can get lost out there. And so that was what came up for me for creativity.
Well, that sounds like a blast. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And
hi.
Who's next?
My name is Kathy.
Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
And this is the perfect time to jump in because I was the one that was trying to jump in with Susan.
Oh.
And but you said it, Susan, just like I wrote it, as far as the playing, the activities, the babysitting, the everything was creative as a kid. And as a teacher, I'm fortunate to be that I color and I play now. But the gardening was what I put in my last one because I've never had the opportunity to have a place to garden, even though that's what I want. Unfortunately, I am going to get that starting this summer, and I just can't wait to get into it.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And who would like to go next?
I guess I'll throw it in there. This is Gail.
Hi.
This is Gail.
Hey, Gail.
When you asked about enjoying creativity, I have no idea why this came into my head, but I figured out how to rototill the front yard when I was 12, and I was so pleased with myself that I could maneuver the damn thing. And at the same time, our vacuum broke, and I took it apart and freaked out that I wasn't going to be able to put it together again. So I guess my creativity when I was 12 was into mechanical. I have no idea. It just popped in my head when you said that.
Well, that's great, because don't forget we all have our different strengths, and it sounds like yours is not just mechanical but kinesthetic, which means that you like to move your body and that you like to certainly be in control of big machines.
I am on the controlling side a little bit.
Well, thank you. That's really cool. And is there someone else who'd like to share?
This is Janet.
Hi, Janet.
Hi. In the first square, what came up for me was remembering in my childhood being outdoors in imaginative play. And just kind of, it was just free. I remember how free I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I long for that now. That's why I'm here in Forest Ranch. However, my creativity and my free movement is pretty squelched. Mm-hmm. And I also remember making up stories as a very young child. I think they were known as fibs, but it wasn't for any purpose other than that I had a story I wanted to tell, you know?
Mm, great.
Yeah, I remember being so free. Yeah, I long for that.
You need to write a children's book.
Yes, I do.
Well, that's very cool.
Yeah, and now I think what comes up for me now is free movement, dancing, expressing myself, expressing what's in my body, music. And,
well, that's really wonderful.
To do that, yeah.
So interesting how we're all remembering so much about our childhoods and that feeling, and how key that is to tuning into our creativity again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Is there someone else who'd like to share? Who's next?
Well, this is June, and I just want to quickly say that I'd like to create a better vegan meal plan with protein at every – I like that idea of protein every 4 hours, and I think trying to stay vegan – I might not be getting enough protein. So creating a meal plan with better protein in it seems to have popped out for me.
That's great.
Cool.
Yeah, making meal plans is definitely a very creative practice. And I'm also a mentor for nutrition students going through Bowman College, and that's their assignments. They have to do meal plans all the time. And they're very creative at it, and it's wonderful to read them. So, yeah, meal plans are definitely creative. And anyone else like to share?
Well, Anastasia,
really
I think, go ahead.
I was just saying it was just really wonderful hearing from everybody. And Suzanne, did you want to say something?
No, I was just very inspired by what everyone said, and it proves my point that we do our imaginations are far wide in creating new ideas, and these were a lot of interesting and great ideas.
Yeah. So this is Sam. I on the third question, list of possibilities, I put perform music. I went and performed a little bit last week, and I just absolutely loved it. And so on the next part, you know, whatever the last question was, I can't remember. I put down about performance. Don't
automatically reject the opportunity, mm-hmm. and which I think is maybe that I've gotten into. You know, like say an opportunity to perform comes up and I dismiss it. And feeling that just came to mind, just consider it at least. You know, don't automatically reject it.
Right. I love that, you know, just allowing possibilities to still be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's a really great thing that you noticed. That sounds really important. Well, good. I really appreciate everyone's shares. It's just really lovely to listen to all of you. And just a few things before we finish up for this evening. Suzanne, if someone was to, you know, this idea of making a mini creative retreat for yourself, would you like to share something about how someone might create that space?
Well, I think that these exercises that we just did are a great way to plan that. And as we know, with every creative, the creative act is generally kind of a circle. We imagine something, and then we get excited and we create what we're creating, and then we want to share it. But you know, all inclusive in that is taking the time and honoring yourself by creating that sacred space so that you can allow yourself to really percolate with these ideas and or with whatever it is that you are drawn to, wherever your energy or your excitement draws you.
Yeah,
it's important to have the idea, but it's also important to honor yourself by taking the time to, and it could be taking a class. I don't think I would have ever learned how to paint if I didn't take a class. It was too scary to me. So I was able to take a class, and fortunately I had I have a good mentor in my teacher, and so I could walk through those very, very scary steps of learning something new.
I think it's also really good to get together with a friend or two or three or whatever and just plan to do like a really simple creative thing together.
Mm-hmm.
I know I get together with friends and with my sister, and we do card making together, and it is such a blast. There is a lot of support when there's just another person there with you.
Exactly.
And that also helps you hold to the commitment that you set aside the time to do that. And the other thing I just want to say about is, like, if you have an idea of what you want to do, sometimes gathering the tools together and putting them in a special place, that kind of holds the energy for that creative space and time for yourself. So, for example, I have my tools. Well, a lot of them are very neatly arranged. There are some little messes here, but I have a whole area for where my tools are organized, and that really helps me.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, I know we only have a few minutes left, so I'd love to just talk a little bit about the Nurture in Nature retreat that's here in Forest Ranch, and it's June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And Suzanne, would you like to say a little bit about the intention for the retreat and what we'll do?
Well, it's, of course, really exactly what we're talking about. We're creating a space, a sacred space in this case, women, to gather in a very, very beautiful environment. And it's a guided retreat, so there, even though there's going to be lots of times for walks and a relaxation and meditations, we also have we'll be doing some nature walks, as well as I'll be talking more about self-care, and we'll be doing creative projects.
I'm so excited for it to begin. I love getting together with other women and doing creative things together. And I just want to, you know, for the people who feel like they're not creative, just know that, like, if you were to come to the retreat, the kind of projects that we would do would be something that you'd be simple and you'd be guided through it, and it, so that it would feel really comfortable to do, and you would be so delighted with what you came up with. Because I've been to so many classes, and I've led some of these classes myself, and I've just seen people over and over again just so thrilled with what they make, even when they said at the beginning, I'm not a creative person. And then I know that also the people who are more used to being in making creative stuff, that there's a room for them also to do things that maybe are a little bit more complex for them.
And we're also, you know, we're trying to live our own sense of our what we honor, and we are trying to, well, we are going to be creating space for women to be able to honor all the mind, body, spirit parts of themselves with good nutritious food. And Anasuya, you'll be doing some nature exercises as well as some activities.
Yeah, I've always loved being outside in nature since I was a kid, and it's been since I was introduced maybe about 8 years ago to some more in-depth nature awareness exercises that really create a very deep connection with nature and help to almost open up and make the outdoors more alive, so that you see and understand more of what the birds are doing, what the animals are doing, and notice more things and engage the senses more in what's going on. And it actually has a very powerful effect, very positive effect on the brain, and counters what's often called nature deficit disorder. So I'm really excited to share some of those particular nature awareness exercises. Does anybody have any questions about the retreat?
What is the limit to the number of people that would be there?
The most that we'll have is 12.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Well, Suzanne, is there anything else that you feel is important to share before we bring?
No, I'm just pleased. I'm happy that that you took the time to create this space for all of you for yourself, and I think it's if nothing else, it's a first step towards your own particular imaginative creative journey.
That sounds wonderful. Well, on that note, I'll just say thank you to everyone. And if you would like to join us next week on April 9th, the same time, and hear about more about the nature awareness exercises with Scott Davidson, email me, and I'll put you on that registration list. So thank you all so very much.
Thank you. Thank you also. It was very nice. Very informative.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Have a good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night.